You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Neil Williams.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Another great day here in Texas. Might get some rain, though, again. So that's the one good thing about this show is that it makes rain happen.
I think we're supposed to get rain all week again. That's what somebody said.
Two time zones over.
Yeah.
It makes rain happen here. We make it rain here at the Concierge Coaches Show here, your official raining station. So
lately, it's either been super hot or it's been pouring down rain.
One or the other. So, but yeah, it's going to get back to super hot and stay that way. So I'm not complaining. So, well, another good week. Things have been good and steady, and so I wanted you today to I want to talk kind of you, Neil, what you're doing, what you have done a little bit, but also what you're doing now. I think it's in some ways you are leading by example, you know. Just moments before the show, somebody on Facebook had a little meme up that said, the wantrepreneur has an idea, and then 2 months later, it's still an idea. But the entrepreneur has the idea, and several months later, it's turned into work, et cetera. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. So I guess
I've never heard that term. Yeah, wantrepreneur. Dude, I'm using it.
There's so many of those out there, huh?
Yeah. I
mean, don't we see them left and right? And
yeah.
And then at the end of the day, you know, I think I said this once before, but I would, you know, these guys would be like, yeah, man, they would talk their talk. And
yeah.
I said, I'll tell you what, next time we meet, I want you to bring 3 years of tax returns. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk. Let's look at your tax returns. Oh, man, like, no, I'm good. Well, okay.
That's a real important thing to look at. Look at your annual progress and what's changing, what's happening.
Or at least the monetary, the monetary side. You could sit there and tell me, you know, I've had 18 million client facing meetings. Okay. I've had 18 million likes on my shit on social media. Okay. But did that translate to dollars? Did that translate to paying work, you know? And
right.
And I think with COVID and some generational shifting and some things that are happening, I think folks might be getting a little twisted in a way about what, you know, I guess work is anything other than what I want to do with leisure or sleep. So if it's anything other than that, or anything that I have to apply this much effort to, man, that's work. Oh, how was your day today? Oh, it was terrible placing all these orders in the drive-through window. And, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. That must be terrible. Maybe you qualify for post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah, it's just, anyway, I won't get on that rant, but let's talk about the opportunity thing. You had a great video today on opportunity and kind of do the overview on that. I was excited about that. Go ahead.
The main point of that video, the topic stems from, I run into a lot of people who are waiting for an opportunity. And while they're waiting for this opportunity, they're also upset about what they're doing because they're not enjoying their job. And their solution, and this is just what I've seen, I'm not saying everybody's this way, I'm not saying this is always the case, I've seen a lot of this, where they're upset with what they're doing because it's not where they want to be. So they develop this negative attitude and they kind of slow down. They don't work as hard, so they're not as enthusiastic and they just kind of fizzle out. And that is just really hard for me to understand because from the very beginning, so my first job when I got clean and out of trouble was holding a white towel and drying water off of a vehicle after it came out of the car wash. That was the extent of my responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Like, I got hired at a car wash detail center and they said, here's your first role. And I was like, what else? I said, that's it. It's like, okay. And so I did that. I did it well. And then they let me start detailing cars. I did that. I did it well. And then so on. And so when someone says, I hate my job, so I'm just not going to do it well, and I'm going to expect to get a better job, it's real confusing. I just don't understand that thought process. And so in the video, I'm talking about how if you want to get more opportunities, you've really got to get out there in the mix. And if you expect someone to extend you an opportunity, it's real important that you, one, get in front of people, and two, be doing a good job at whatever it is you're doing. Like, it really doesn't matter what it is.
That's right.
So that was mainly what that video is about. Where do you want to start today? Because that can...
Well, yeah, I like that because you're showing the work ethic. And even though you're doing something that you know you don't want to do for the rest of your life in a car wash business, that makes sense. And then that led to other positions and other opportunities, starting with doing a good job at the car wash, mm-hmm. and doing great jobs in subsequent roles and positions. So I think that's really, I'm having a hard time figuring out, I guess if we were talking about powerlifting and muscle building, it's an easier discussion because you know, the guy who goes to the gym once or twice and said, well, I'm really not getting the gains that I thought. I thought I'd be coming out of Gainesville right now, three sessions into the gym, swole is the goal, plates for dates. And all that. I mean, I thought I would be this big guy, but I'm not. And you say, look, in order for you to look like this muscular person over here or whatever, you've got to work and eat and do some things to get there, more than what you're doing. Okay. And so that's kind of understandable. And the guy shrugs off and he walks off. Okay. Well, you know, but I think with some of the job stuff, I think there's this sense of entitlement, oddly. Like, so it makes it even worse. I mean, I'm not entitled to have a body like a bodybuilder. I don't feel like I am.
Right.
See what I mean, either I want to have a better body and I do what it takes to get it, or I just live and let live, right? I mean,
I thought of a really good illustration.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Am I interrupting you?
No.
Okay. With fitness and nutrition, what I see a lot of is people get started and they don't want to put in the time and the consistency, and they don't want to do all the hard things like meal prepping and paying attention to your macronutrients and drinking more water and taking out sodas and cutting out the fast food and investing the time and then doing harder things. This bottle of Test Booster Blue Star Nutrition says that it will do this for me in just 90 capsules. So they go start buying all these supplements and they think that will get them closer to it. And that's they're selling a dream. It's a pipe dream. The supplements I use are protein and food and water. And I use some pre-workout. All these different little pills and stuff are sold as shortcuts. And shortcuts, as we know with everything in life, is not effective for long-term, sustainable, true success. over here in the, for the entrepreneurs, as you said it, now I'm excited about that word. There is, they start working, and instead of the supplement industry, we have social media. And so you have these Instagram famous, these people who are renting mansions and renting vehicles, just like in rap videos or whatever. And they're portraying, I always reference back to this because it's a quote by Jay-Z that I heard in an interview and it's really good. And it said, and he talks about how people always want to emulate the result. They never want to emulate the process. And social media is a prime example. So people see this and they're like, mansion is success. Mercedes is success. And this guy got it at age 21. I should be able to do this. So then they start worrying about what everybody thinks of them. And they get so focused on their image, they've lost focus on honing in and developing skills. Dude, I wasn't even on social media talking about what I was doing with my life or even in my private life until 2 years ago. I was living my life. I was building the actual thing. But people start, they're doing an ass backwards. And that, I think, is a really good illustration for that fitness industry and then what we have with these young entrepreneurs who think that that's how you do it. It's not how you do it.
No, and last week when you talked about the non-negotiables in your life, sleep, pray, work out, right? Participate in your recovery.
Yep.
Participate with others in recovery or recovery-related things. Was that meal that you went out with those guys, was that a post-church accountability crew, or was that a more of a recovery crew or a hybrid?
Where it's a little bit of a hybrid. We happen to all be engaged in recovery.
That's
fine. We also are alumni. We went on this retreat. We've all been on this retreat, True North Retreats. My friend Nathaniel has a ministry and he does retreats. We've just coincidentally all been on one. But yeah, we get together to eat and I've known some of these guys and then I just met some of the other ones. And so we just get together, hang out. And then some of us go to a meeting, some of them cut out and go home to their families. But it's that connection, that camaraderie. There's some things that you can work on no matter where you're at.
That's right.
Which is what you're alluding to, I think.
Well, but also I think that post went a long way, believe it or not, to see you and a bunch of guys in a restaurant, obviously fellowshipping, also experience strength and hope, sharing all that good stuff too, you know. And it's a good post to see, you know what I mean? It's just, it's not like, hey, we're at, you know, Joe and Bob's sober living house today. And we stand up in front of the fence and take the obligatory visit shot. You know what I mean? And so I really like that. And then it's kind of, man, you know, that's pretty cool. And plus it's a reminder, to guys, like myself or whatever, you know, you're in a situation where it's like, I remember my 30s where I could fellowship with others. You know what I mean? It's like life and priority somehow, get, you know, that becomes harder to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you have to make, I mean, that's like date night for the dudes. Like, what are you? No. I mean, you almost have to plan it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's difficult for people to make that stuff happen. So you have to be real intentional about it. And I'm intentional about that stuff every week of my life.
Oh man. I think, you know, what I'll say is, I have shown my process, like you said, not the result. I mean, I like to show more the process or what I'm thinking or a news item or whatever. Obviously, as coaches, we can't violate confidentiality. We can't go through all these processes on social media, but we can say, hey, you know, today I did this. Hey, today, and not just checklist stuff. Like, I'm seeing a lot more female sex offenders. And this young girl drew a picture of a rocket, and they suspected her of drawing a penis, and it kind of hauled her away, type of thing, into a criminal justice system. Kind of strange, kind of weird, but hey, you know,
this is in a business setting.
No, it was at school.
Oh,
she's like fourth grade or something. It was unbelievable. So, I mean, they really went over the top. Anyway, and it was an East Coast type of thing, so it was kind of strange to see that actually. But in my work, I'm seeing more and more females with violating sexual boundaries. And, yeah. And I know it's kind of off the beaten path, but hey, you know, that's what it is. And I'll have a comment about it, and some people will freak out and some people won't. But here come the calls a month later, or here comes the DM. Yeah, man, I remember you posted that. Well, I know this woman, da-da-da-da-da-da. And there it is, you know. And for all the shit that I've received all the years about, oh, you're Facebook, you're always on Facebook, this and that, but I don't make mistakes on Facebook. You know, everything I do is very calculated. Yeah, there's some family moments in there. Yeah, there's some UFC stuff, but that's now a double, triple dip type of that's a loaded potato. So, and you know what? If I were to sit there and calculate the paid engagements that were a result of very well done, consistent social media, it would be in six figures ever so easily. Okay. And this is, I'm a hack. I don't claim to be, I'm not an influencer. I'm just average Joe at it. Okay. So I'm not, you know, some of my contemporaries that are coaches, you know, Jeff in Arizona, Luke,
yeah.
These guys are banging on social media, man. The tags are consistent. They're just, how do you, they must have to, maybe they're hiring people to do it. It's just, it's amazing.
Some people are just really good at it.
It's so good. I mean, no, I celebrate that. I celebrate their talent, bro. That's like, so anyway, okay then. So showing the process versus the end achievement, I think is something that our listeners might want to take away, is share your process with others.
Yeah.
Okay.
People are afraid of it. They're afraid for people to see him as the little guy. And that doesn't scare me. It doesn't scare me because you should never be afraid to show who you are. And we all start somewhere. And for me, I thought of it in terms of, you know what? I'm going to do my best and start just, if the content serves a purpose, then it should be there. And I don't really care if people think it looks swanky and stuff. So I'm going to start. Not only that, but later on, which now we're a year and a half after I started doing stuff, look at the difference between my social media and what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And this just shows that what I'm talking about is effective. So you get to see that I'm practicing these principles.
Daily affairs. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, practice these principles in all of our affairs. But seriously, all the stuff I encourage guys to implement and coach them through, I do too. And they work. So you get to see that there.
Yeah. And you're right. If you look at the stuff you were doing a year and a half ago or whatever, it's kind of fun to see the evolution, if you will.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe word to say here. See how you've evolved. And it's kind of a reflection of kind of where you're at, what you're doing, and what, you know, what all is going around you. And I think that's really cool to see, you know, rapid growth in the depth, you know, of what's going on now for you. So keep going, keep sharing, but then just, I think, you know, this is what I'm doing. And that's good because, you know, you can tell you're kind of fired up, like, okay, you know, let me talk about this right now. You know, don't wait for that opportunity to knock.
Mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, I'll try not to steal your thunder. But then when you said earlier in a pre-production meeting, when you said earlier about had you not done what you were doing in your recovery, aside from your day job, which was not this, right? That mm-hmm. that set the stage to where things are going today.
I didn't even know this, what I do for a living now. I didn't really know that it was an occupation. I didn't even know that. And not only did I not know that, but the things that are of utmost importance for someone who does what I do, authenticity, honesty, and really being genuine and knowing what you're talking about and having some experience in this area, you need that right. to do well. You need it. And I was living it. So, and I'm still living it. So it doesn't, I don't have to pretend and I don't have to try and put on a face. It's just who I am. So I just show up and do it. And something that I want everyone to know is the things that I started practicing when I was just getting started and working at that car wash, the things that I knew I could start getting better at were punctuality, you know, timeliness, being on time to work, showing up clean, you know, shaved and look groomed, you know, look presentable, and then work on eye contact, shaking hands, engaging with other individuals. There's all these little things that people forget about are huge. Huge. They're huge.
Huge.
Teamwork, working with others. Like I had to do that with people. And when you work at these lower paying jobs, you're working with some difficult individuals a lot of times because they're not working a lower paying job because they want to. They're sometimes working a lower paying job because that's all they can get. And so you work with some, yeah. some 40, 50 year old guys who are pretty bitter about where they're at.
Yeah.
And you got to find a way to work well with them. You'll learn some tolerance and some teamwork skills right there.
Yeah.
Those are things you can develop no matter where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah, man, for me, it started as a nurse's aide on a psych unit, as a nurse's aide. And then I moved to nurse's aide midnight to 8 on a detox unit.
Did you have that hair that's in your driver's license photo at this time?
Because
that hair is awesome.
The hair was awesome, man. My hair was awesome. I still have it.
No, I know. The hair is new. The hair style. Yeah. A little bit bigger back then.
Yeah, it was big, man. I had some hair. Yeah. No, it was. They called me Dr. Superfly. So part of that was the hair. But, you know, I worked, like you said, worked in the nurse's aide, detox, doing vitals, doing a bunch of kind of gnarly stuff. It was kind of cowboys and Indians. You didn't have to be a CNA to do CNA work back then in a detox yeah. hospital. They just made you do it. And I'm like, okay. And once that little bubble was broken, I was like, yeah, I got to get this degree. And that was my car wash. Only was ass wash or whatever. Sorry. Hey, man. Anyway, that's man, caught you drinking there. Well, anyway, so yeah, once the degree came and then kind of did the same thing again, but at a better level in the state mental hospital, and then went back again for the graduate training. And so, okay, you know, I think I need to make some adjustments. Not that I felt entitled.
No.
I wasn't entitled. I just knew that I didn't want to be there, right? Mm-hmm. That I wanted something bigger and better for myself. And what was it that I had to do to go that next level, okay? And then take steps and execute at that next level. And honestly, it didn't come necessarily easy. I mean, I had to apply to a lot of places. It had a good ending, obviously, but man, I was on a Greyhound bus going from school to school to interview these graduate schools. I mean, I look like a damn near homeless man with my duffel bag and, you know, doing coin operated laundry, hitting this little mini tour of graduate schools. And finally, you know, I did get in with a scholarship to Wyoming, of all places. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go to Wyoming. It was cold up there. I'm from Texas. What the hell? I'm going to freeze my ass off up there. And I did. I ain't going to lie. I froze. Yeah. But you know what? God wanted that to happen. And the experiences, the knowledge, the wisdom and discernment from living up there and surviving that and that setting the stage for the next steps, quote unquote, opportunities that knocked. I shouldn't say that, but they were the next opportunities that arose to participate. Well,
it's true that they knock. They present themselves. And if you're moving and out there looking for them, they knock because you see them. But if you're not doing shit, you're not going to hear the door.
Right.
Like, you're going to be in the back asleep, passed out. And I have a real hard time when people say I don't have time to find a new job. Okay. I remember getting excited about an interview with UniFirst, the trucks who drive around delivering uniforms and stuff. UniFirst. Yeah. At that time, I was driving an hour and a half one way to work, and I was working 13-hour days. And then I was driving an hour and a half back, and I was going to the gym every night. I would leave at 6 a.m., sometimes a little earlier, and I would get home around 8 p.m. and then go to the gym. And I was applying for these jobs, and I remember I used my vacation time to make an interview. And then I used more of my time to make the second interview, and I didn't get that job. And I went back to work, and I would do that. And so make time.
You look like Joe Rogan right there.
I just, because it's frustrating because I want people to do well. I want people to succeed. And obviously that's what I've turned into my career, is helping people become more successful. I love it. But when someone handicaps themselves by saying, I don't, I can't, I won't be able to, how do you know until you at least give it the good old college try? Like, I mean, force it in a way. Not, I don't want it to sound like, because you know, when you're trying to force something in your life, you're supposed to leave it alone. But at the same time, if you haven't given it 100%, you don't know that it's not what you're supposed to do.
Here's one of my techniques, man. And I do this to myself to whip myself into shape. But anyway, so I'll have a client, they'll be opining or maybe doing the victim stance or whatever. And I'll say, tell you what, let's just take a baseline. And for this next week, let's no intervention, no suggestions. Let me just get an idea of what your schedule looks like. And so it'd be like, okay, I woke up and played Xbox, whatever, ate, went out for food, maybe hit a few licks on the computer looking for a job, something worked out. Anyway, and you'll see this schedule, and they come in the next week, and I'll say, and I'll hold the schedule up. Is this the schedule of a successful, right? I mean, what does this schedule tell you? Like, if this wasn't you, what would you say about this person? And they'd be like, man, you know, I tell that guy to get out more. Okay, then let's make another step, and let's put in for, I got a client right now, just graduated from college. The jobs didn't come the way he wanted them to come. Somehow is the victim, right? And, you know, love my clients, man, but, you know, come on now. you got the degree, just because this, you know, super yummy six-figure job didn't pop out into your sphere because you, but that was that sense of entitlement. I thought that if I did this and I delayed gratification this long, this good job would happen.
Like they're going to be waiting at you at your graduation or something.
Man, I said, well, I just said, look, help is on the way. We're just going to have to put forth some effort now looking for a job, just like you put forth effort in getting the degree. The good news is that with Glassdoor, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, yeah, and all these other things, you can get yourself out there.
From the house. From the call.
Minutes. LinkedIn, double click the easy LinkedIn jobs with the little yellow bar that you can apply in two clicks. So that hold on a minute. And as from there, it's just a numbers game. Well, what if I don't like, hey, do it. And then work your way to the next better job, you know, and that's the good thing about all this crazy COVID crap and the political landscape we're in today, is that people have one, two, or three gigs that they work. It's just not like back in the day, like I'm an engineer and that's all I do and I go home. And I mean, a lot of people have multiple things that they do now. Mm-hmm. So, but you got to be engaged in one of those two or two of those, you know,
mm-hmm.
you still have to be engaged in doing that. And so, if you think back about it, a lot of the opportunities that have happened were because I was in front of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the interaction with the other people, the phone rang or something happened or, you know, I was able to meet somebody or whatever. And then the opportunity was there. But I was out there, right? Just like talk about the Dana White thing. Went to the wrong restaurant. End up in, 24 hours later, I'm in a imbroglio with the Fertitta brothers and Dana White. And I'm holding court. But had I not decided to go out and interact with human beings, would never have happened. And so, I do love that. It's getting out there, being active and using that as a catapult for the opportunities, you know, cause that they just don't happen in a solitary vacuum. I just don't.
There's a story. Not many people know this story. In 2017, I had been serious about training, you know, physical training. And I had some people telling me I should do powerlifting competitions because they were saying that I had the ability to get in there and actually make some noise. So I started looking into it. I decided I wanted to do this and I wanted to compete. I wanted to register and get in these competitions, actually show up and do it and be serious about it. And so I was in operations at work and I was making better money than when I started, but I wasn't making great money. And I was really having to be careful about my budget and powerlifting, coaching, equipment, travel, paying for the competition. Powerlifting costs money. You don't make money. Right. The only people who make money are guys who are sponsored by supplement companies and stuff like that, or brands. And I'm not that guy, obviously. I'm just a regular dude who wanted to, you know, achieve something and push myself.
Right.
But I had made my mind up. And I also wanted to be involved in another community of guys. I had my recovery community of friends. I had my work friends, but I really wanted some guys who were not in recovery and they were doing healthy stuff, because I want to be around all different types of people to learn and grow and develop. So I made up my mind I wanted to do that. What am I going to do? I can't afford to do this. I was working, again, a full-time job in operations. I'm supervising guys in the warehouse. And I went and got a job at Olive Garden busting tables. And so nights and weekends,
wow,
like 3 or 4 days a week, in addition to my full-time career, I would go to Olive Garden. I would bus tables. And the thing that I really like when I look back on this is, one of my closest friends, who was also my supervisor, had to do the same thing. He had other stuff going on. So he and I went, and he got a kitchen job. I got a job bussing tables. One of our warehouse guys, Randy, I love Randy. And Randy also worked in the kitchen. And so he saw me and my buddy, go get jobs and do that work when he knew damn well we were a higher level upper management at this company. We just weren't making enough and we needed more to do what we wanted to do. So we went and we worked our ass off wherever we had to. Now, so that's what I did to be able to do what I wanted to do. And it worked out and I started competing and I won first place, second place, third place, and first place. I placed in all my competitions and I did really well. I set a state record in 2019. But the other thing that came of that is like I said, I couldn't afford it. And I was really struggling even then. And I was beat because I was training like 2-3 hours a day in the gym, 5 days a week. And a guy, he won't let me tell because he asked me not to share this with anybody when he did it. He took what I was doing and said, hey, here's some money. I want to sponsor what you're doing because I see what you're doing and I respect what you're doing. I love that you're putting forth this effort. You're not asking anybody to hand you anything and you're living the way that we want. And he's in recovery. He said, this is what we want guys to do. And this is what we want other guys in recovery to see. So thank you for leading by example. I want to help. I didn't ask and I never would have asked. It was the fact that I knew what I had to do and I went and did it. Somebody saw that and said, hey, I want to contribute and I want to support you. Not only that, but last year, when I was doing what I'm doing with my business, I had someone reach out to me and said, I've been watching you. I didn't even know he was paying attention. He said, I've been watching you for the last 6 months. I would like to invest. And I didn't accept it. We had a good conversation. We talked about things. I didn't really want to take on any debt. But it's the simple fact that people are paying attention. And you need to focus on you and you need to focus on what you're doing and what you need to be doing. And that's it. You start worrying about what people think and what are people going to say and shut up. That's not what we're doing here. All you need to worry about is you, what's right now and where you need to be next. That simple. Do what you need to do. And people still want to make it complicated.
Yeah.
If it means the simplest job you can find, bussing tables. I worked with a 17-year-old right next. We had the same job. And he asked me, he said, how old are you? I told him and he was like, what are you doing? I was like, making money. Like, what are you doing? You know, and he was just like, he didn't understand. So I explained it to him. And I liked that these kids got to see what it means to work.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do, brother.
No, man.
Make some waves.
And not only that, you know, people saw that and took notice of that. And some things happened as a result of that. And so, if not once, but twice. And so, I mean, that's just a great example. And I think that's kind of how it works, is that you keep moving and doing. I know we have a balance, you know, you want to be a human being or a human doing.
But,
yeah. Human being versus a human doing.
It's a fact.
Facts. And so I've always leaned more on the human doing side because that's why guys get addicted to work. And sometimes guys will abdicate relationship responsibility or even parental responsibilities just because they get that feedback loop from work. So if you're working, you're going to get most of the time you get some return of investment through your work. Right. If not, you're getting certain projects done and certain things done in the name of work. Mm-hmm. But even still, man, I had to, for myself years and years ago in a salaried position, it came to my attention that I was working way harder, you know, and not necessarily getting the benefit of what I was doing. So, so I had to kind of had to take a step back and retool some things because sure enough, you know, what I was doing was good, but it wasn't necessarily good for me or my family at the, you know, what was going on then. So, but yeah, as long as you're working, you know, people will take notice, and people take notice of social media. People see what you're posting on social media, and they see the intention behind that. And like you said, you know, don't worry about the haters. There's always going to be haters, you know, and, but just kind of do what you need to be doing and go through the opportunities that happen as a result of you moving forward. So I,
Well, a little bit later in the game, which you were talking about, where you had to step back and look at, someone is telling me what I'm worth. And at least that's kind of what it reminded, when I heard you talking about that salary position, I remember when I was all of a sudden in this position where I realized, and I'm thankful for COVID, because when it happened and I got a pay cut simply because of what had happened, and the fact that I was relying on a company to provide me with what's responsible for my well-being. My well-being was based on whether or not this company is going to provide for me. I realized two things. One, I don't want to be in this position any longer and depend on somebody else. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm allowing someone to tell me what my value is, and I don't agree with what they say I'm worth. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to not be pissed off about it. I needed to go prove it. Mm-hmm. If you think you're worth more, well, go on, show me something, dude. Be about it. If you think you're worth $60 an hour for some landscaping, go and get out there and landscape.
Let's see it. Uh-huh.
As long as I'm thankful for the program about those things. Don't let your emotions take hold of you. Just if that's what you don't like, then go change it. Just go act. Don't sit here and talk about how it's complete BS and how you're being wronged. Just go change it. That's it. But it's so much easier to get online and go,
be a keyboard warrior.
Yeah.
I need my prayer warriors right now to help me through this.
Unspoken prayers, please. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know, man. I'm like, well, then why are you bothering me with this post? You know what I mean? Like, you're just teasing people, or
that's why I love the unfollow button. They don't even know.
Or yeah, it's just like, what are you thinking? Like, what effect do you think that has on people? You know, yeah, man, just whew. Don't get me started on some of that cringe stuff. But so yeah, it is about, you know, getting out there and taking action. And, you know, another thing, you talked about non-negotiables, right?
Like
prayer and getting up. Well, you know, there are certain, say again?
Your foundation.
Yeah, the foundation. But watch this. There are certain non-negotiables that I won't do. Like, let's just say certain kinds of clients. I'm going to refer to somebody else.
Yep.
Right. I'm just not going to see them. And I might even be in a position where I could really use the funds. Yeah. You know, a couple of kids in college, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, always something around the corner. And I could really, but I'm not going to take that case. So that kind of velvet rope client, I'm only going to take certain types of clients. Right. You know why? Because I know that I'll be able to give certainly these types of clients, I would say I've a good solid four flavors that I can do that I can give these four flavors 120%.
Yeah.
120. You know what I mean? Look at myself. Yep. Yep. You know what I mean? Like what is what I'm doing now? You know, good, exceeds the industry, et cetera. Yeah. You know, but any of these other things, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take it. And so it was so fun to see you take some of those, or that one that was, you had to take it. This one case, I don't know if you remember or not, but anyway, you had to, you know, it was a private case. You took it and holy cow, you know what I mean? Everything comes at a price. And some of these more close range engagement, these close range coaching engagements, man, it gets intense. And, but anyway, and look, I remember thinking at first, oh man, this is going to be great. And da, da, da. And then once I was there and then I saw the systematic component of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my God, I don't need to be here, you know? Mm-hmm. And I will never, you know, do something like that again, but hey, it's live and learn, you know, learn from our experiences and stuff like that. So,
And I think that's why that goes back to the thing in the very beginning. We take what's there, the opportunity when it feels right, we take it, and then we learn what we'll never do again. We learn what we're good at. We learn what we're not good at. We learn what we like to do and hate to do. I have to learn all that stuff. And sometimes it means learning the hard way, and that's okay. It doesn't break us, but it certainly molds you if you allow it to.
Right. Yeah. And then this kind of success trap, you know, or founder's trap or whatever I call it from time to time. Just, you know, you get used to working and doing a lot of work, but then I still have to make time to grow. I still have to, you know, I have to make time to go out.
That's why I post that stuff, because that's personal time. Those guys doing stuff like that, that's outside of work. That's for me. That's to get better and to become a better person and to be in community, man. I love those guys. Those are good dudes, man.
Yeah, man. That such a good post, man, and such a good, you know, reminder, you know, to get out there in fellowship. And you did the old hashtag iron sharpens iron. Amen.
Yeah, dude.
And, boy, I saw that. no, man, that's just – you know, right down the middle, man. That was perfect.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, gosh, there's the show, man, with 1 minute left to go. So, folks, listen to our show archived on the LA Talk Radio website. Also, our videos are there, so you can watch the videos and hear the sound. And we're also on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, and several other podcast aggregates. You can reach me on conciergecoach.net. Neil, how can folks reach you and the rest of the show social media?
Our show is on Instagram at concierge_coaches. And we are on Facebook, the Concierge Coaches Show. And I am on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that. Elevated Lifestyle Academy and elevatedlifestyleacademy.com is my website.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, there it is. So until next time, we'll see you. Everybody have a blessed and safe week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody. See you next time.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.